السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة، ادفع بالتي هي أحسن، فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. ترجمة إن شاء الله. Someone will do translation in the back. إن شاء الله. ترجمة إن شاء الله. Where is the جماعة؟
سوري.
Yes, sir. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected elders and brothers and our mothers and sisters who may be listening. Once again we gather tonight to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make an effort to develop those qualities that will bring us closer to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst the many bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, and we can never encompass and count the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah ta'ala said in the Quran al-Majeed, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. That if you have to count even one bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never be able to encompass it. So from all the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is the person's eyes, the person's ears, the person's heart, if we just pause on the heart alone, then we find that the person, if he has one issue with the heart and he has to go for some sort of procedure on the heart, then we know what happens. On a lighter note, one person went for a operation, bypass operation. So he said that when he saw the bill, he almost had another heart attack. He almost had another heart attack when he saw the bill. It was so expensive. And you find people sometimes have to go for a transplant, or they have to go for some sort of, they're waiting for some donor, whether it's a kidney donation or whatever it is. The person is parishan, the person is concerned, he's anxious that when can I get this matter resolved. One consult sometimes 2,500, 3,000 rands. Then the person realizes just the bounty of that one heart. How precious just the one heart is. And to attach a value to that heart, it's not even possible to attach a value to that heart. These are priceless bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah protect, even if the person, for argument's sake, the person's heart stops beating and the person passes away, his life will come to an end. And that will be it. And of course, if the person had Iman and Islam, then life then begins thereafter. So from that we understand that even more valuable than that, than the heart, is this bounty and this ni'mah of Iman. This Iman that Allah has blessed us with. It's such a priceless bounty. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. That the person who recites this kalima, he has got his passport or his visa for Jannah. He will enter Jannah. So just the mere recitation of this kalima, and of course Iman means that the person, you know, shahada bil lisan, iqrar bil lisan, wa tasdeeq bil qalb, that not only does he attest to it with his tongue, but his heart also believes in it. That the heart also believes that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final and the last messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person, if he has got this iman, then he has got his ticket to Jannah. Now imagine the person in this world had absolutely nothing. He was struggling, you know, unable to, as they say, make ends meet. But the person had iman, he passes away with absolutely nothing, but he's got his ticket to Jannah. He's got his ticket to Jannah. And on the contrary, the person has got all the glitter and the glamour of this world, the properties and what have you. But if this person has been deprived of iman, khasirat dunya wal akhirah, the person has failed in this world too. Because without iman, you will not really enjoy the pleasures of this world. It is like stolen pleasure, not real pleasure. Otherwise, if you look at statistics, you'll find that the highest rates of suicide are amongst the wealthiest people. Highest rates of suicide. The abuse of drugs. You find so many of these actors and actresses and musicians, and they, so many of them, you find that they overdosed on some drug. Now, if that person was enjoying life, what was the need for the person to be addicted to a drug? People get addicted to a drug because they're trying to escape some anxiety or some worry. Now you ask yourself, the person has got so much of money, he's got such a fan base, why is this person anxious? What is causing the anxiety? The anxiety is because the person is far away from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the person, we say that the person has got the la'na of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The curse of Allah is upon that person. And what is the definition of la'na? Al-bu'd anil rahmah. That the person is far away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So can you imagine when you're far away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what kind of a place is that? What kind of a space is that? That is a very dark space. That is a very, a place of no happiness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an embodiment of peace, an embodiment of happiness, an embodiment of tranquility. And the closer you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more sakina, the more tranquility, the more happiness, the more prosperity. Allah will bless that person within the heart. فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَ Allah will cause that sakina to be in the heart. The sakina is not external. You cannot see it externally. It is inside the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this. So this ni'mah of iman is such a priceless bounty. May Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to protect this iman. So the ayat of the Quran and Majid, which I recited, that there are many lessons that we can learn from the Quran and Majid, as Allah ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, that do they not take lessons from the Quran and Majid? There's so many lessons that we can learn, and we can implement it in our lives to become better human beings, better Muslimin, better mu'mineen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ, that whose speech can be better than that person who invites towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find in this world there are people inviting to many things. Someone is inviting to investments. Come and invest here, you know. Invest in this business, invest in that business. Why didn't you buy this car? Haven't you seen this vehicle has got now, you know, it's an electric vehicle. You can save so much of fuel. So people are inviting to many things. And we won't say that we must condemn them. And many people inviting to many things. Someone is inviting to whatever it may be, some building proposal. So from all the different speeches that we have out there, someone is inviting to physical fitness, keep yourself fit. Someone is inviting the person to, you know, go on a diet, you know. So many people are inviting to many things. And maybe many of those things are good, but from everything that is being invited to, there is nothing greater than that invitation which is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing greater. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. We in our salah, when we perform our salah, how many times we say Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. We say, oh my Rabb, glory be to you, you are Azim. When we go into sajda, We have placed our head right to the ground. We say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. That glory be to my Rabb who is the highest, the most supreme. So there is nothing greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the most powerful. Allah is the most knowledgeable. And therefore, an invitation to the greatest, to the most powerful, to the most knowledgeable is the greatest of invitations. Therefore, we should make an effort in our lives to invite people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, inviting people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be done in so many ways. So many different ways that people can invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the muaddin who is calling out the adhan, he is calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The adhan is a call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, in one hadith it is mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, أَطْوَلُ النَّاسِ أَعْنَاقَ, that the people who will have the longest of necks on the day of Qiyamah will be al-mu'addinun, the people who call the adhan. Because imagine that person is calling people towards hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, come towards salah, come towards success, come towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person is inviting towards the masjid, he is inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has become special in the eye of Allah subhanahu. So even the muaddin is a da'i ila Allah. The muaddin is also a person who is inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, the imam or the person delivering the Jummah bayan, he is also inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ustad in the madrasa, he is inviting the students towards good morality, good qualities, towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will say that the ustad is also giving a kind of da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So each person in his own space, in his own little workplace, he can also participate in this da'wah, this inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that as believers, we are ambassadors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدْ مِنْكُمْ الْغَائِبْ, that those who are present here, addressing the Sahaba ikram, he had mentioned to them that you who are present here, you should go and convey this message to those who are not here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, kuntum khayra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, kuntum khayra ummah, you are the best of nation, ukhrijat lin nas, you have been taken out for the benefit of mankind. This lam is for lam faida, for the benefit, for the benefit of mankind. And ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only mentioned lil mu'mineen, lil nas. The people, whether the person is a Muslim, whether the person is a Christian, whether the person is a Jew, whether the person is a Hindu, we should be there to benefit him in some way or the other. And then Rasul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that you will invite people towards goodness, you will forbid people from that which is harmful. So ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. And this is an important point. The person should be inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not دَعَى إِلَى نَفْسِهِ. What happens? Sometimes the person is delivering the bayan. In this year, we also learn the lesson of ikhlas. That the person is inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes the person is giving the talk, and the intention, the niyyah behind the talk is to impress the people. So he is quietly inviting towards himself. That look at what a wonderful speaker I am. Look at, how much I am doing. Look at how I can use and express myself and my eloquence. So quietly the person is inviting towards himself. He's trying to show his capability. So that we will not say that this is a da'wah ila Allah. This is actually a da'wah ila nafsi. Sometimes the people are giving a talk because they want to impress the audience. They want to impress the audience. So unfortunately, the person will lose the effect in that talk. We have spoken about this intention, this aspect of ikhlasun niyyah. That whatever we are doing, it should be solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. That when you are doing any good deed, there should be no shirk whatsoever. Ulama-i kiram explained that we have the shirk, which is shirkul jari, that the person ascribes, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ, that Allah will never forgive that anyone ascribes partners to Him. That there is one Allah, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. There is one Allah, He has got no partners. But then the person ascribes partners in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way, that the person performs his salah to impress people. That look, I am here, I am in the masjid. Can you see? Many years ago, in our local masjid, there was a youngster who we hadn't seen in the masjid for many years. And mashallah, we started seeing him in the masjid. And he was in the first saf for, you know, 1 week. And just over a week. And shortly thereafter, he sent a proposal for one of the musallis' daughter. And unfortunately, the proposal was not accepted. So when the proposal was rejected, this person was no longer seen in the masjid. So Allah knows best, but this is an indication that the person was coming to the masjid because he wanted to impress the other musallis that, see, I'm performing salah, I'm in the first saf. So the person may get that. The person may get that acknowledgement. That people may say, mashallah, he's a musalli, wa fi saf al-awwal, he's in the first saf. Right? But unfortunately, his intention is not khalisan lillah. It's not solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His intention is to yura'un al-nas. He wants to impress the people. He wants to show off. So unfortunately, he will get that. So he will get, people will be impressed by him. So he will tick that box. But when the person goes in the akhirah, unfortunately, that entire effort will be destroyed. So we have to look at our actions carefully. Sometimes the person, you know, spent so much of money for, perhaps it may be the building of a madrasa. Or the person went for hajj. Or the person participated in some good work. And then he destroys that entire good work by looking for acknowledgement from the people. Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah said that one place where the person returned from hajj. So he said to his son that, oh my son, bring the zamzam water from my fifth hajj. From my fifth hajj. So what was the reason to say the fifth hajj? The reason to say the fifth hajj was to, he wanted everyone to know that I am one of those fortunate ones who have gone for five. He was looking for acknowledgement. So we have to be very careful, and that is why we have to keep on judging ourselves. We find that we are quickly looking at the weaknesses of everyone else. We have this habit, and look at that person, look at this one here, look at what he's doing, look at what she's doing, look at what that person is doing, look at what this organization is doing. But in this is a trick of shaitan. Talbisu Iblis, it's a trick of shaitan. That in the process we forget ourselves. Because you're so busy scrutinizing everyone else that we forget our own weaknesses. What we actually should be doing is we should be focusing on our weaknesses. And the truth of the matter is, who can say that they have got no weaknesses? Can anyone say that I am a perfect person? We have all got weaknesses. And if we keep on focusing on our weaknesses, where would we have time to find the weaknesses of someone else? If you bought a house, and now, you know, you're revamping that house and you discover, you know, I got a problem with the sewer line, there's some electrical problem, this roof here, this part here, this rafter is breaking, that light needs to be repaired, I've got this issue, I've got that issue, and you're continuously fixing everything up. Will you have time to look at what's happening with the neighbor's house? You'll have absolutely no time. And even if you see some fault of the neighbor's house, you say to yourself, I should talk last. I got enough issues in my own house to sort out. Let me first sort my own house and then maybe I can, you know, advise that person. So this is one of the tricks of shaitan, that he makes us focus on the weaknesses of others. And in the process, we forget ourselves. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. That the believer is a mirror for his fellow believer. So what does a mirror do? When you look at a mirror, you actually see yourself. That's what you see. Hence that if your eye falls on the weakness of any fellow believer, you should ask yourself that perhaps I have got this weakness in myself. That perhaps I haven't realized that I too have got this weakness. I focused on his weakness, but I probably have the same weakness in myself. Let me make sure that I do not, or I eradicate this weakness within myself. So when you catch sight of the weakness of your fellow believer, it should actually, the glance should turn back onto yourself. And sometimes you need to ask yourself the question, that this person is my son, this person is my brother. Perhaps it is because of my action, or my inability, or my weakness, or my negligence, that this person has, you know, fallen into this weakness or into this sin. There's something that I did wrong. So the person, if he's got his students and he finds that his student has done something wrong, then he reflects on himself that perhaps there's some weakness in my a'mal that my students have, you know, fallen into this particular sin. So al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min, a believer is a mirror for the believer. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. We are inviting towards Allah subhanahu. We are not inviting to anything else. Sometimes the person is hosting this large gathering, mashallah, the ijtima for example is coming up now. Those who are involved in the ijtima, it should be that this ijtima is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no other objective. It's not that we're trying to prove, you know, to the other province that we were able to host, for example, a larger ijtima than your ijtima. Or our ijtima was more successful than your ijtima. And sometimes you find people measure the success of their programs, the success of their efforts in the number of people that attend. If that was the case, then you can go and look at some of the statistics of the musical shows. Some of these musical shows that they have, where, you know, these celebrities come and they host a show in these stadiums. Sometimes in that one stadium you have 60,000 people, you have 100,000 people attending. So if the proof of success was in large numbers, then they were the most successful people. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Well, we say they are the most successful people. So we will never look at numbers, but rather we will look at the amount of change that comes into the lives of people. How many people really change their lives? How many people really change their lives after attending? And again, numbers, we should never look at numbers. There are some Anbiya, it is mentioned on the day of Qiyamah, who will hardly have any people that are as followers amongst them. Very few. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik, will say that the Nabi has been unsuccessful. No, absolutely not. That Nabi, inshallah, Allah will give him great amount of reward because his intentions were. But Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives hidayah. Hidayah is not in the hand of any Nabi. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Majeed, addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That, O Nabi of Allah, you are unable to give hidayah to whomsoever you wish. Allah is the one who gives hidayah. Is in the hand of Allah. So even the person who is conducting the talk, he knows that I cannot give hidayah. I will make the effort. I will use the sabab, I will use the means. I will give the talk. And I will make sure that I have got sincerity in my talk. But hidayah is not in my hands. I will make dua that, Ya Allah, you put hidayah in the hearts of people. You turn the hearts of people in the right direction. You bless the congregation with sincerity and ikhlas. But it is not in my hands. We will make the effort, but we will realize that hidayah is in the hand of Allah and Allah alone. Otherwise, will we ever say that the Rasul of Allah had failed when his own uncle Abu Talib did not accept Islam? He didn't accept Islam. Hidayah was not in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, respected, we invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. And together with inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَ. The person has to make amal. We have to do good deeds. This is the, you know, if we may say, the powerhouse where we generate that power. If we may say, just to give an example, if that vehicle does not have fuel inside, it's not going to be able to really move. So for your da'wah to have an effect, there must be amal salih. There must be good deeds. The person must take out some time to do actions that will bring and invite the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And this person said that I am part and parcel of the Muslimin. Ulama and muhaddithin and mufassireen explain that this also teaches us the lesson of tawadu' and humility. That the person doesn't say that, you know, ana, you know, I am so and so person. Do you know who I am? You know, I have got this degree and I've got that degree and I'm so and so person. No. I am part of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am part of the Muslimin. I am like any ordinary person. So the person has got the quality of humility, the person. And when the person has got humility, this will have a tremendous impact, a profound impact on others. Always develop the quality of humility and remember that whenever we achieve something and someone praises us for our achievement, then we should attribute that achievement to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah ta'ala says in the Quran and Majeed, that whatever وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever bounty you have got, whatever achievement you are able to accomplish in this world, مِن جَانِبِ اللَّهِ, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why when we perform our salah, the first surah that we recite, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alam. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even when the person is praising you, that you are such a wonderful person, you are such a generous person, you are such a kind person, you've been able to achieve this, the person says, Alhamdulillah, Allah is the one who gave me. All praises actually belong to Allah. Because Allah is the one who gave me that capability to do this. If Allah didn't give me the wealth, I wouldn't have been able to do this. If Allah didn't give me the intelligence, I wouldn't have been able to, you know, calculate this or come up with the solution. If Allah didn't give me the strength, I wouldn't have been able to assist you. If Allah didn't give me the time, I wouldn't have had the time to be able to, you know, invest in you. So it was only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person always humbles himself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةَ. Then remember, in this effort to invite people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this effort to do good deeds, in this effort to develop the quality of humility, there are going to be trials and tribulations. لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. Allah says that this, you have been created in toil. This world is a place of challenge, darul imtihan. This dunya is a place of trial and tribulation. You are going to be tested. Allah Ta'ala says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسَ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do you think that you are going to be a believer and you're going to say that I am a mu'min and you will not be tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Allah says, we have tested those before you. And this is how Allah Ta'ala will then decipher and ascertain that who are those who are really hardworking, who are really sincere, that you're just going to give up. As soon as one test comes, the person says, now starts uttering statements, oh, why are all this only coming to me? Could Allah Ta'ala not have found somebody else to test? All the tests are only coming to me. These are all statements that are indicating that this person is not willing to be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the tests which the Sahaba Ikiram and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam endured in Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara, trial upon trial, difficulty upon difficulty, test upon test. وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. That Allah Ta'ala shook them to such an extent that the Nabi of the time and the people said, when is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to come? So Allah Ta'ala tested. Can you imagine the trial and tribulation at that time? So Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةَ. That good and bad cannot be the same. Good and bad can never be the same. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِي أَحْسَنَ. Someone does something bad to you. Someone says something bad to you. You cannot fight fire with fire. If somebody, you know, if there's a fire burning in the building, and now you go with a gas tank and start, you know, what's going to happen? That fire is going to intensify and the entire building will be destroyed. Finished. The only way you can fight that fire is with water. Remember in life, for those people who want to get close to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, always try to take, as they say, the moral high ground. If that family member, that person was nasty to you, if you're going to be nasty to that person, you are not going to achieve anything. You're just going to intensify the animosity and the hatred within that community, within that family. Allah Ta'ala says, idfa billati hi ahsan. That animosity that may have come between the two of you, Allah will make it disappear. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that not every person is blessed with this quality. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. That who are those people who are blessed with this quality of being able to make difa' with goodness? Those people who have got the quality of sabr. They have got the quality of tahammul. They are able to withstand the difficulty or the speech of others. So we have to develop this quality of perseverance within ourselves. And if people say something to us, we have to learn to tolerate it. You know, you say the person is tolerant. How is he tolerant? That he is faced with a challenging situation that he doesn't like, but he maintains his silence. He's able to withstand it. We say this person is very tolerant. You know, we say this person, you know, is his tolerance level. His tolerance levels are, or his immune system is high. His body is able to tolerate. So what's happened? There's germs and there's exposure to germs, and this person's body is able to tolerate it. He doesn't get sick. So in the same way, there are things in life which upset you. It's going to upset you. You're going to feel bad about it. But you are able to maintain silence. You don't say anything that hurts the next person. You make the tahammul of it. You build your capacity. And for this, we have to learn and we have to inculcate within our children. We have to inculcate within our children the ability to tolerate others. We must build within our children that ability to tolerate difficulties, to tolerate challenging situations. Otherwise, just recently, our Ikhwan Nisab Rahmatullah had one of his audios that were released where he was advising even those who Allah is blessed with wealth, that make sure that your children, you do not bring them up, as they say, on the golden spoon. Because if you do that, you're going to be spoiling your children. When you are gone, they are not going to be able to tolerate the challenges and the hardships of life. And unfortunately, you're going to find that they're constantly going to be failing in their route and their journey of life. Because remember, whether it's your daughter, whether it's your son, and especially for the daughters, sometimes they've grown up in a home where there's no shortage of wealth. But then what happens? They go into another home. And we know things can suddenly change. The person has a thriving business and things go wrong. Something happens. You know, there's a route that's changed, or this, you know, the taxi rank is moved from one location to another, or something or the other takes place. And as a result, that entire business, which was a well-run business, there's nothing wrong about his management skills or his ability to run the business. But Allah has simply made it such that the customers are not coming. And the person now has to, and as they say, tighten the rope. Now what happens? That daughter was brought up in a home where everything was, you know, given to her. What happens? She's unable to. And then, see what happens? Just recently, there was a person, 3-4 children, there's so many incidents of this nature, not mentioning any names, but married for so many years, and the father was very wealthy. He just said, well, look, if you can't give my daughter that kind of a life, I'm taking her back home. Another, what the father doesn't realize, now he's already, you know, advanced age. Is he going to be living forever? Now what's going to happen to those children? So we have to be cautious and careful and make sure that we develop this quality of tolerating difficult situations, hardships. Just to give a practical example, our late Maulana Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, you know, towards the latter part of his life, as we see with the many of the pious people, you know, when the community starts appreciating them and understanding the sacrifices that they've made for the community and to honor them, you find that people now, you know, bring the expensive vehicles, and, you know, so it used to be when Maulana would walk out of the masjid, there would be a very expensive vehicle waiting to take him home. You know, the people would compete with one another. Maulana Rahmatullah Ali realized that this is, you know, also not a very practical situation, and you know, others were not getting a chance. So Maulana, when he would come out of the masjid, he would look at the people who had remained behind and say, you bring your car, you bring your car, you bring. And I still remember there was one particular Musalli who had a, you know, one of these beaten down buckies, you know, quite a rough vehicle. So Maulana used to even mention to him that bring your vehicle. And then Maulana used to turn around and say that Alhamdulillah, we can sit in the most expensive of vehicles, or we can sit in this vehicle too. It doesn't affect the tranquility of our heart once. So this is a sign where a person, that vehicle now means nothing to that person. He can sit in the most expensive vehicle, or the cheapest of vehicles, or the most, you know, hard and rough vehicles. This person has got the quality of tahammul. He's got the quality of sabr. So to get these qualities of being able to take the moral high ground, you have to first develop the quality of tahammul and sabr. Inculcate sabr within yourself. And there are many examples where the Shariat of Islam has given us a opportunity to develop this quality of sabr. For example, the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is the month of sabr. It's known as Shahru Sabr. The fasting in the month of Ramadan can inculcate the quality of sabr. The amal of Hajj can inculcate this quality of sabr within. Because now when the person is going for Hajj, there are people coming from different, you know, diverse backgrounds. Everyone doesn't have the same, you know, culture like you. And another person has to tolerate it because, you know, Allah Ta'ala says that wala jidal, that in Hajj there should be no fighting. Another person wants to let, you know, make it known, and, you know. So now he has to make sabr. So there are many opportunities in Islam where we can foster and develop this quality of sabr. So we have to constantly make sure that I am daily making sabr on different situations in my life, whether it is on, you know, with the children, whether it is with the wives, whether it was with the employees, whether it is with our employer, inculcate this quality of being tolerant and being patient. And if you develop the quality of patience and sabr, it will become very easy, inshallah, to take the moral high ground and to now focus that now when I'm inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I need to be patient. Because sometimes, you know, I remember on one occasion we went to one house for gasht, and the mutakallim, you know, that is why it is also important that the mutakallim, he considers the person who he is speaking to. So the rehber, who is the person who directs the people, is usually from the community, he directs them to the house. So he mentioned to the mutakallim that, look, this person that we are going to, he has a, you know, coming from a modern background, so just rather, you know, just speak to him in general, just meet the person. So this mutakallim, you know, he was young and he had a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of, as they say, josh, you know. So he started now with the whole thing from, you know, speaking about Allah and the greatness of Allah, and Allah created the sky and Allah created the moon. And this person, you could see, was getting more and more, you know, frustrated. And next thing, you know, he gave it to us then, chased us out from the yard, you know. Now, obviously, that was a lack of understanding from the mutakallim, that when the rehber told him that, you know what, just, you know. So, unfortunately, the person didn't understand that situation, you know. So now, obviously, sometimes these things happen. You are trying to invite the person, you have got good intentions. Now, of course, that mutakallim had good intentions, and he is inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, here we will say that the person also, he didn't understand the situation, and that is why Allah says in another place of the Quran and Majid, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah." That the person who is inviting also has to have a lot of wisdom. This inviting towards Allah Ta'ala is not for the person who doesn't have, you know, the capability. And that is why the person who is chosen as the mutakallim must have some capability. Because it can happen that person who is the mutakallim, the person who is inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't have proper capability. And instead of bringing the person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person can push the person further away. Hence it is important that those people who are, you know, organizing the jamaats must ensure that the people who are given positions have got the capability for that position. You can't just say that, chalo, make bismillah, put him there. It's like saying the person who doesn't know how to drive the car, chalo, bismillah, let him try, he'll come right. Huh? Will we do that? We will make sure that the person who's driving the vehicle has got some capability before we give him, because we realize that's a position that he's taking. Hence, we have to be also careful that those who are in leadership positions, whether it is in our organizations, whether it is in our masajid, that we make somebody a chairman, or we give somebody a position as a supervisor, you know, to the institute or whatever it may be. We have to make sure that that person is capable enough to handle that position. If the person is incapable, then we cannot say that, look, the driver of the car is very pious. A very pious person. Bahut nek aadmi hai. So chalo, let him drive the car. The piety, neki to apni jagah par hai. The person's piety is in its place. But we cannot look at piety. We can say that another person is not pious, but he's an excellent driver. We will say that he is more capable for that position than this nek and pious person. We have to also understand the capabilities of people. And hence, if we study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu Akbar. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Look at the battle of Uhud. And there's so many examples. This is one example that's coming to mind. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stationed the archers to protect the rear of the army, who did he choose? It is mentioned in the books of Sirah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose those people who are masters in archery. They were masters in archery. He could have said that, you know, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is the greatest from my ummah. I will send him and put him in the back to man that. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose those people who had the capacity and the capability. Hence we even see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent ambassadors to the Persian Empire, to the Roman Empire. He selected people who could go there and could communicate, who understood the language and who had the capacity. Hence Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even when he chose Khalid ibn Walid as the leader of the Muslim army, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood the capability and the fact that Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu was a master in it and strategist in military. And it was Khalid ibn Walid who inflicted such great harm to the Muslim army in the Battle of Uhud. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood his capability. And when he accepted Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave that same Khalid ibn Walid leadership positions in the military, understanding capability. So we cannot just say that the person is very pious, you know, so therefore giving these positions. We need to understand that in our organizations, in our structures, in our masajid, in our madaris, in our darul ulooms, we need to select people who have got capability. And this seems to be one of the issues within our structures, in our organizations, and that sometimes people who do not have the capability are given these positions. And Rasulullah said, one of the signs of Qiyamah, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْرِهِ فَانْتَذَرِ السَّاءَ. If people are given positions, yet they do not have the capability to handle the positions, this is a sign of Qiyamah. So therefore, we need to look at ourselves too, whether it is the work of Dawat and Tabligh, whether it is our masajid, whether it is our madaris, whether it is our darul looms. Look at people who have got sufficient capability. We, alhamdulillah, also run a madrasa. We have noticed this often, that sometimes people have got, you know, titles or piety, but they do not have the capability of, for example, teaching a classroom or handling children. So handling children, the person has to have certain skills and certain capabilities, and the person has to have a passion to be able to control and discipline the classroom. We find that instead of the teacher controlling the classroom is controlling the teacher. So we will say that this person does not have the capability, or the person doesn't have sufficient training to be able to handle it. That this person, instead of driving the car, that the car is driving him, he's lost control over the car. So he needs to get off the road, he needs to get trained a little more, and learn how to control that vehicle properly. And now inshallah, we'll find that that ride will be much more steady. You know, the person will have the car under control. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these beautiful qualities, this quality of sabr, this quality of tahammul, these qualities of humility. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those of those who invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thanaan alayk. أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. اللهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما هو أهله. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا، وأكرمنا ولا تهنا، وأعطنا ولا تحرمنا، وأثنا ولا تؤثر علينا، واهدنا وارض عنا. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من الفعل والقول والنية والهدي، إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم اجعلنا هادين مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم اهدنا واهدي بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. Oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins, those sins which we committed knowingly and unknowingly in the light of day, darkness of night, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Give us clean, purified hearts, Ya Allah. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Bless us with the noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alleviate the suffering of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially our Muslim brothers and sisters who are suffering in Gaza, Ya Allah. Allah, have mercy upon them, Ya Allah. Allahumma ansur ikhwanana fi Gaza, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma ajjil bi nasrihim, Ya Qawiyu, Ya Aziz. Oh Allah, those enemies, Ya Allah, grant them hidayat, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, hidayat is not muqaddar, Ya Allah. Destroy them like you destroyed Aad and Thamud. Allahumma ahlikhum kama ahlakta Aad wa Thamud. Oh Allah, destroy them like how you destroyed Aad and Thamud, Ya Allah. Cause their planes to crash, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, make their plans and their plots, Ya Allah, means of their destruction, Ya Allah. Maj'al tadbirahum, tadmirahum, Ya Allah. Allah, make their plans a means of their annihilation and destruction, Ya Allah. Allah, unite the hearts of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have mercy upon the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min kulli khayr ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min kulli shar ma sta'adha minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.